Blog Talk Radio.
Why is the world in the state that it is in? Do you need certainty about things in your life? Your health, your love, your marriage, maybe your diet or politics? Join us here at 5:30 Mountain Time on FreedomizerRadio.com as we give you all the answers, and we will expound upon subjects that we know everything about, and you will learn how to laugh, love, and live.
What is wrong with you? Have you been reading Hallmark cards or hanging around at Bed Bath & Beyond?
What? It's an ad, okay? Ads don't have to be truthful, all right?
Why do you think you have all the answers?
Well, I don't, okay? I just say that I do. That way people think that you're smarter than you really are.
And that's going to make people want to listen to you more? What if they find out you're a dum-dum?
You're a dum-dum.
Join us here Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time as we search for answers together on Mental Acumen Radio with Donald and Christy Rose on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You hurt my feelings, dum-dum.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67%. With grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, folks. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Welcome this fine Saturday afternoon. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. We are across basically all social media platforms. We have our own website, barefootislegal.org. I am your host, Audrey. As you can, I'm sure, tell, my voice has decided to bid me adieu this weekend. I am here, though, with my co-host, Phoenix, who will be doing most of the talking after this. Yeah, we are doing what we can. Say hi, Phoenix.
Hello.
Are
You good? Okay. I just have to make sure.
It's not COVID. It's upper respiratory, but it still sucks, friends. So
yeah. And the thing is, it's like, I think the times when I did get COVID, which obviously, you know, I was, you know, taking proper precautions, quarantining, you know, being smart about it because, you know, if I've got it, I'm not going to be leaving my house, you know.
No, I wouldn't be here around.
But I never actually, like, lost my voice during any of those times, but upper respiratory, that'll do it. That'll do it.
I've not been sleeping. I've been coughing so much.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what it is all the little kid ickies have finally caught up with me. And my immune system said, all right, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I'm fighting for you.
Since, you know,
so,
you work in like a preschool.
Teacher.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little kids, a lot of germs, a lot of bleh.
Yeah. I imagine preschool centers are crawling with germs.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But most of the time we teachers, we can fight off literally freaking typhoid, dude, but we've had RSV and COVID and flu A and all this. I've been checked. I'm good, but like my body's just like, well, you're getting something. So here we are, voiceless Audrey. I know my coworkers have been happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times when, you know, our bodies are weak, we're not getting enough sleep, you know, that can be what really causes, you know, things to catch up with us, you know. Stress and lack of sleep are the biggest, you know, killers to your immune system, and not to anybody's immune system. You know, you can have a strong immune system, but if you're, you know, taking on too much stress, that takes a physical toll on your body, not just a mental and emotional toll.
No, I know.
And it does affect your immune system detrimentally. So I think, you know, it's definitely a sign to, you know.
Slow my butt down.
Yeah. Take care of yourself, you know. Yeah. I've seen a lot of, you know, people talk about this, you know, just over the last few years is, you know, people are talking more about valuing your health, self-care.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not even just self-care, it's self-maintenance. There's so many things that we label as self-care and self-love. Now, yes, it may be a kind of a form of self-love and
self-care.
But
self-maintenance is actually sleeping regularly.
Like
your car, you maintain it by regular oil changes and
tire
rotations, you know, that's maintenance. It's not showing
you have to put gas in your car for it to go. If you don't have any gas, no go.
I have gas after this. I haven't thought about it. I'm literally on E.
That was me the other day. It's the time of year where it's so cold, you're like, always when the sun's out.
And then you forget, and it's dark again. You're like, maybe I can wait till the next.
Yeah, I think I've learned every time I've been to the gas station this past month, I've been barefoot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, sometimes it's been way too cold. I've definitely been pushing it to the point that I have been noticing some just adverse effects for me as somebody that has issues with the cold and, you know, with scoliosis, osteoarthritis, fibromyalgia, you know. And so it's not something that, you know, every barefooter is going to be going around walking with and having to deal with. And so that's not saying that, like, oh, my gosh, guys, it's too cold and then y'all can barefoot. No, just because I'm having issues does not mean y'all need to quit doing you, you know.
That's a good thing you feel that way because I
exactly. I mean, yeah, you know, I wouldn't expect Audrey to. I've known her too long to expect that.
If Audrey's wearing shoes, you know it's way too cold out.
Yeah, I hope you guys heard that. But she said if Audrey's wearing shoes, then you know it's way too cold out. But, yeah. Well, there was even one time, I think it was like one of the first really cold days we got this year. I think it was one of the first like cold days we had after summer. So it wasn't like quite like freezing, but I think it was the day when it dropped from 95 to, like, 50, like,
oh,
you know what I mean?
Our state trooper.
Yeah. Yeah. Our state trooper, slow down the weather. And yeah. So, yeah, I put shoes on because my body had not adjusted the temperature, you know, and for me, with, you know, my different health conditions, if, you know, going into cold, that's too cold that I'm not adjusted to, it's like a temperature shock and it messes mm-hmm. with my nerves. It then messes with my joints, whatever. And so I ended up having to put shoes on, you know, just not to, you know, overshock my system from the, you know, weather change.
Oh, come on, I'll wake you up.
Now, I do like it here and there. Like, it is refreshing.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm just being funny.
I know you are.
I'm good at.
And I forget, I think me and my boyfriend, our boyfriend partner, whatever you want to call him, and we've been together for so long at this point.
Your eventual husband.
That's what my mom says all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your eventual husband.
For reference, I've been with him for going on 7 years, so yeah. So everybody else is ready for it. I'm 21, so, you know.
I'm ready for it. I said it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to happen.
Thank you.
That's what I said.
But, you know,
I'm ready with you.
But he's team shoes, but he's also, you know, team me. So he supports me.
That's like Nate.
You know, and so I don't remember if we had already left or it was right before we leaving, or like if we had, you know, gone outside yet, but he was like, oh, it must be cold. You're wearing shoes. And it was like, those things where he didn't realize right away. But then he was like, I thought you looked a little taller. Like, okay. Because they're just like basic tennis shoes, but, you know, they add a good inch and a half.
Which is a huge difference when you're as short as you are.
Yes, I'm 5'2 for reference.
You don't really notice on me height-wise, but if I put them.
It's always kind of funny when, you know, people, the things that people say when they are supportive, because, like, you know what I mean, like, it's because sometimes it's just funny, like, oh, it must be cold, you're wearing shoes, like, to me,
yeah,
that's just, like, funny, you know,
like, are you cold?
No hi,
something different.
Sure, tucks shoes behind your body awkwardly. Yeah. And those are always, you know, the rough ones. You know,
I haven't had any of those yet this year.
Which I am glad for you.
Yeah.
And I actually, you know, came across this video, and it was I don't remember what kind of doctor she was. It was something to do with either muscles or chiropractic or and it was a video that came up on my For You page. Yeah, I wasn't really sure because she was talking about the muscles through the whole body, so it could have been orthopedic. Like, I wasn't really sure. It came up on my For You page, and I kind of checked out her account a little bit. It seemed like she was a legit doctor, so.
Right.
But I'm assuming why it came up on my For You page is because it was actually talking about the feet and barefooting. And so she wasn't saying, like, never walk on, you know, tile floors or cold tile floors. But she was saying, you know, you shouldn't always walk on cold tile floors. And now, if your body – and so, for me, like – here, I'll get to my experience with it in a second, actually. I'll explain the video first. So she's talking about how there is this muscle on the foot. It's kind of the familiar foot, and it's actually an area where I tend to have a lot of pain and tightness or spasming. And apparently with this muscle, it's called like the kidney one, or maybe it's a nerve, I'm sorry. And so when, you know, you're walking on cold tile that is, you know, too cold for your body, that muscle tenses and can lock up and then, you know, it can start spasming, but it can also send tightness up throughout your entire body because the muscle or nerve, yeah, starts in your foot and it goes all the way up to your lower back. And so she was talking how, like, you know, this can, you know, cause issues for, you know, just general people, but especially if you have, you know, like joint issues, muscle issues, you know, hip issues, you know, issues already in your feet, you know, lower back, and, you know, I'm on that team, Larry, I got all those issues, you know, whether I like it or not.
Crap body.
Yeah, team crap body. And so I personally found the video very helpful. You know, I personally don't think, you know, it was like she was trying to scare people or anything. Like, but it was very, I think, validating for me as a barefooter, though, because my problems with, you know, cold tiles and concrete.
It's getting good information
getting good information is one thing. It's not a judgy type of thing. It's just teaching people how their bodies work. So it's a little different than telling people they're doing it wrong. I mean, simply because they don't like it. Like, to explain the full, don't, like, for me, and as true as that may be, I've not had an issue where it's hurt like that. Mine is when my feet get hurt, is when I'm in shoes and it's kept stiff. It's not a temperature thing, really. It's just not allowed to, able to move.
Yeah.
But that, again, that's me. But, like, yes, I have some. We have some of the same conditions, but we are also still two different people.
And every condition is a spectrum.
Exactly. And it's for me, it's when my feet are kept stiff. Like, oh, my God, wearing this shoe lately has been killing my foot and my whole right leg up into my lower right back.
Is that for your foot still?
Yeah, I'm still supposed to wear it.
Right now, folks.
My boss could be listening.
You're sitting and chilling. You took it off, and I didn't see you take it off.
That's true. You weren't paying attention.
I think I ran into my car before the show. Okay, sorry.
I don't even know what's happening right now. But anyhow, but that's when my feet hurt the worst. It's not when it's been on cold floor or cold surface. It's that, actually, as much as I hate cold, for me, that's what it, like, alleviates the inflammation and helps it feel better for me.
And I can relate to those experiences, you know, too.
My window freaks me out every time.
Even for
me, I kind of go back and forth between, you know, what I already talked about and what you were talking about, because, like, I feel the same way if my, and I've noticed most people with fibromyalgia, you know, feel this way. If your muscles, you know, stay in one place, like, it just causes problems. If you don't move with fibro, you lock up. But if you move too much, then you can set yourself back, because, you know, fibro is a condition that, you know, and unfortunately it's still controversial because a lot of people don't understand it, because, you know, from the research I've done, it seems that it's actually more neurological, and that's why.
So that was the blanket diagnosis they'd give for people who are addicted to narcotics was fibro. So a lot of doctors still, when you tell them you have fibromyalgia, they interpret that as something different.
Oh, yeah. They think
because that you're a pain seeker, and it's like, that's not it at all. But it's we got a long way to go for this. This is a legitimate condition, folks. Like, it's not.
Well, and I actually, you know, just to, you know, talk about fibromyalgia for a second, I remember watching an episode of Gilmore Girls, and that, you know, anything, you know, this show, you know, started, wasn't it like the end of the 90s or right at 2000?
It was late 90s.
Late, okay. I can't remember. It was like right at 2000. I was pretty sure it was late 90s to like
04. It was up for a couple years while I was still in high school.
Okay.
I started watching it when I was in high school, so it had to be late.
It was pre my birth and then ended after my birth. Well, like a few years after my birth. So I was young, you know.
Or VP, pre before Phoenix. It started with P, not an F, friend.
Dude, people always so think that. I've had so many people spell with an F. You'd be surprised. Anyway, if you've never watched the show, the main character, Rory, she's got rich grandparents. And so they were talking, so her grandpa's talking about a benefit he was supposed to go to, which was for fibromyalgia. And the only thing he says about it, he's like, wow, what a boring disease. And I just remember, like, this is one of the shows I used to watch. And, you know, for people with chronic pain, there are times when you can't move, you're in so much pain, you just want to die. And so sometimes watching something, listening to music, that is the only thing to distract you.
Yeah.
And that's not to be dramatic or be like, oh, feel bad for me. Okay, it's just, it's a part of living with chronic pain. Yeah, like, if anything, just be nice. Okay, I don't want your pity, you know. Just don't be a jerk. That's it, you know. Exactly. But yeah, I remember that was, like, really frustrating for me, because I was like, oh, my God. I kept watching the show. And so it is one of those things a lot of people don't understand. So, you know, our symptoms can be all over the place. And so for me, like, it does cause sensitivity to cold, which can cause issues in certain, you know. And keep in mind, the times that I've been complaining about and having issues where it's been affecting my body, it has been below freezing or around freezing. So it's not like I'm, you know, oh, my God, it's 45 degrees out. I can't handle it, you know.
Well, even if it was,
that, you know, that wouldn't matter. I'm just saying, like, I have to be a little bit proud for myself and remind myself that, like, okay, it is freezing, okay? Like, you're not a wuss, you know? And so it's definitely caused, you know, issues with muscle tightness when it's been too cold, you know, like those freezing temperatures. But at the same time, even for myself, you know, if my, like Audrey was saying, you know, if my feet are, you know, stuck in a shoe and they're not moving properly, that causes so much stiffness and just issues in my, you know, feet's ability to move, that then affects the rest of my body's ability to move. And, you know, it's incredibly frustrating, you know, having to go back and forth between, you know, shoes are like my downfall and shoes are the only thing that helps, you know, protect my feet from the cold, which then can affect the rest of my body. But then wearing shoes can then affect my feet and the rest of my body. So, you know, it is a constant back and forth. And again, this is not me trying to be like, you know, oh, I want your pity, like, you know, feel bad for me. But it's like, I think that it's important for us to understand that, you know, for people that have different chronic conditions, chronic pain, chronic illnesses, whatever, and barefooting is a key thing that helps, but there are times where it's not, you know, the save all, you know, and that's okay. You know, that doesn't make, you know, for having to unfortunately choose to put shoes on, which sometimes is the better option, even when it is the better option, I still don't like wearing them. I still don't want to be them. I'd rather it be like 75 degrees out and this not even be a thing on my mind, you know? But, you know, it doesn't make me any less of a barefooter when I have to make a choice for my body, you know? Just like for any of you guys out there that may be struggling with the same thing where it's like, I hate shoes, but sometimes I have to wear them because there's a better option, you know? Or if you have a condition similar to mine or conditions that cause, you know, just similar issues, you know. So it's just like, you know, it is getting colder, you know. Winter is coming. We've had snow here and there, at least in our part of Ohio. I'm not sure what the weather is for all of you guys. But, you know, we're coming to the end of November. You know, winter is coming. I mean, technically the winter solstice, which is, you know, officially marks the transition of winter, isn't until the 21st or the 22nd this year. I'd have to double check. But still, you know, it's getting colder, winter is coming. And so it's like, you know, we have to be understanding with our bodies and what they need, because, you know, every winter though, I always get so frustrated. Sometimes I can, you know, direct that a little too much at myself, you know, because it's like, oh, it's cold, it's miserable. You know, you have to layer up. And, you know, for me with, you know, my muscular issues, I do end up having to put on shoes. And, you know, I've been pushing it lately, you know, as it's been, you know, just above freezing or below freezing, even after, you know, sun being down, you know, going to the gas station, going to stores, you know, even if I'm just going to friends' houses, you know, and just not putting them on, you know, in between the car, you know, and things like that. And so I have been noticing that, you know, it has been very hard on my body. You know, it has been, you know, causing those issues I was kind of talking about before with the kidney one nerve muscle thing that, you know, goes throughout your whole body. I did notice yesterday that it was probably the worst my pain has been in a really long time. And, you know, I'm not going to blame barefooting, though. I mean, if anything, I blame the cold and, you know, my body's natural response to, you know, that muscle just not react, and nerve, you know, not really reacting well to the cold, which is a natural thing that happens. And I think that's an important thing to share because, you know, that may be causing issues for some of you guys that you don't realize. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, even during this time of year, like when my inflammation is super bad in my feet, sometimes just going out for 20 seconds and putting my feet on, you know, the cold grass or even cold concrete can help, you know, when my feet are just, you know, like burning and they feel really hot because the inflammation's too much. Taking, you know, 10 to 30 seconds, you know, if that's, you know, sometimes that's, you know, all I need, and that kind of can help cool down my feet. And it's just very, it's kind of like an ice pack to the inflammation. And ice does help with inflammation, but at the same time, you know, ice can all and cold can also cause, you know, muscles to
tense up or clench, which could then cause issues. And so it's about balancing the two and going back and forth, you know. And so it's like, you know, wearing shoes too much to increase that stiffness I was talking about, you know. Well, if it's too cold, you know, it can kind of, you know, trigger that kidney one and then cause issues, you know, throughout, you know, my entire legs, my hips, my lower back. And so, like I said, you know, it's kind of about balancing those.
When everyone has a different balance.
Yeah.
In their body.
And, you know, but so also like, just
again,
even
what you need to do is different. What I need to do, what I need to do is different than what Bobby needs to do. You know, it's just, we're all different.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it is kind of a
but
balancing
I think
hack,
some point
too.
Some implementation of barefooting to some degree, I think, is beneficial for all body types, honestly. But
oh yes, for sure. Like, I'm definitely not like being like, oh my god, like
no,
barefooting is the reason why my body sucks. I'm like, no, it's the cold. Okay,
yeah,
this cold
right.
weather over here needs to get herself figured out. Okay, like
right.
I'm not dealing with it.
Oh my,
I know. I'm just like, can I just? I don't even know where I'd want to live at this point. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you go somewhere warm, you have to worry about wildfires and stuff.
I would rather live in Australia with the spiders as big as my face than live with cold. I would.
And, you know, and I know it does sound dramatic to some people even, but, you know, I think for reference, people understand, like, you know, Audrey and even I are coming from a place of dealing with chronic pain. And, you know, that we've dealt with, I mean, I've been dealing with chronic pain over a decade now. You've been dealing with multiple decades now.
Yeah.
And
I'm about to be 40, yo.
And so, you know, it can seem, you know, dramatic, you know, at times to other people. But when you're going through so much pain, it's like you just want to die. And, I mean, honestly, that's how I felt
right.
last
it's
night.
Like, right. And sometimes it's like, don't get too worried. We're not like suicidal. Like,
yeah.
You want to be over. You want to stop. You want to
yeah. And that's why, like, I try to explain that to people because it's like, I'm not going to say, oh, it's so bad, and then use something else. Because, no, it is so bad. In a way, you want to die, but it's not that you're suicidal. But there are times where, you know, we do need to keep in mind that chronic pain can push people to that point.
Yeah.
You know, there are times in my life where, you know, I've been in so much pain, you know, I've questioned it. And I know other people around me with chronic pain have definitely questioned
yeah.
it. And so, you know, this isn't about seeking pity, but seeking compassion
understanding.
And understanding, not even just for myself, but other people
just
out there like me.
Our condition doesn't make it any less valid and
yeah.
real.
And there are a lot of people that barefoot for their health.
Yes, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Fish.
But unfortunately, you know, even for myself, I do have to find limitations where I unfortunately have to choose shoes, even though they're not a magical cure-all option. They still come with their own burdens of wearing them. But they end up being,
well,
like, the
like any quote
lesser problematic option, you know?
quote-unquote treatment or whatnot. There's no cure. There's just, you know,
yeah.
ways to deal with it.
And it's about learning to manage your symptoms. That goes with any chronic illness. And unfortunately, a lot of doctors, mainstream health care,
mm-hmm.
it's a joke. It's not – people don't really care. And that's not me trying to
– sick patients bring the money.
Yeah, and that's not even me just trying to be like, oh, I'm some crazy conspiracist. I am talking about from my experiences as somebody with chronic illnesses, chronic health issues at a very young age, people not taking me seriously, not really doing anything to help. And I know Audrey has felt the same thing for decades.
I've been with this for 15, so almost 35, 25
yeah,
years.
And
25 years since I first started having real symptoms.
Yeah, and I remember having symptoms that went back to sixth grade. I mean,
they didn't actually officially diagnose me until 4 years ago.
Yeah, and I went about 10
they
years.
They only diagnosed you because you had a maternal aunt with the condition.
Well,
the
funny thing is I'm in a weird gray area with my fibrodiagnosis. I was actually supposed to finally meet with a specialist again for it, where they were going to officially diagnose me, but I had some issues that came up with insurance and whatnot, and I got to get, you know, worked out. But, yeah, so they have me as having a history of fibromyalgia, but they don't have it as an official diagnosis, which
oh
doesn't
God.
Make any sense to anybody. But, yeah. But
because
it took
nine
years of me dealing with issues before they diagnosed me with osteoarthritis and
yeah.
scoliosis. And
osteoarthritis is
well. Remember us talking about it. I'm telling you, I remember telling you, tell your doctor, just don't even bring it up that you might. Just tell your aunt you need to change your medical history. And that's when they finally started looking at them for you, which is BS.
Well, eventually, it took them about almost 10 years to take one set of x-rays, and they didn't even take all of the x-rays. And only one actual x-ray, they were able to find the scoliosis and the osteoarthritis in both hips.
Yeah.
And the scoliosis is my SI joint, which is in between the hips for reference. And so, one x-ray, and they're like, oh, yeah, your whole hips are just messed up. And I was like, wow, it's almost like I didn't know that. Like, wow.
It's almost like you told me something new.
I know. Like, wow, that is... Wow, I had no idea. It's not like I've been dealing with unreasonable pain since I was 11, And
I guess mine really started around 11, 12 when my house burned down. That's when it all, came into gear.
Yeah. And
I got real bad. I could not even jog by 15.
Yeah.
Jogging was nope.
Yeah, I know in middle school I tried to do cross country and track, and I was having so many issues with my body and didn't understand. I was like, wow, I just have chronic shin splints, which is something that, runners get, especially if you're running on concrete, which is like the worst thing to run on, first of all. And but it's been hard. It's something I would love to be able to do again, it is just to be able to long distance run.
Fastest runner and fastest jump roper in my class for years. And then all of a sudden, I could barely walk.
Yeah, I know.
That was
really
dramatic.
Yeah, and right before my senior year, I had to start using a cane, and it got really bad. And it wasn't until after my senior year that I got diagnoses for my issues. I mean, when I was 17, I got diagnosed with endometriosis. When I was 14, I got diagnosed with leaky heart valve, which was also why I was having so many issues with running.
Yeah.
I had track and cross country coach, they thought I had asthma because they could tell I was struggling to breathe. I get really dizzy, out of breath, and found out that I had a leaky heart valve that just went undetected because my breathing's fine. When I breathe, when they listen, my breathing is great. They always tell me I have great lungs, which I'm sometimes surprised, honestly.
You overexert yourself.
But it's once that blood starts pumping, that's when, you start having some more issues.
Anyway, we're not here for all that. Wow. Let's just give the world our medical history.
No, you're good. I don't care. I mean, I personally don't care because I want other people to understand, where I'm coming from. The big thing, we really need to focus on is listening to our bodies and knowing our own health. I have had all these issues and, unfortunately, the medical world has not been very helpful. You've had a lot of issues very similar to mine or the same conditions, and the medical world has not been very helpful. And that's the problem. And a lot of people, I've met a lot of people with chronic illnesses that are going through the same thing. So it's about listening to your body and learning how to monitor and take care of your own symptoms based upon what you need, because unfortunately not enough people out here care enough, even when it's their job. And that's not me trying to scare people or make everybody completely distrust all doctors.
The fact that those that are going through it at the same time,
it's to address that there is an issue and that you need to be selective of who is a part of your care team, if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely.
And if somebody isn't helping you and you just feel like you're not getting anywhere or you feel like you're being gaslit, know that that is valid. Your experiences are valid. And so do what works for you. And barefooting is something that helps a lot of people. It's helped me. But at the same time, I do also have to keep in mind that it is not always, a cure-all, end-all, And so there are times where, I do have to put them on for my own, health, my own, safety, whatever. And, we have to remember, too, that safety isn't just, not having to worry about other people attacking us. It's emotional safety. It's safety within our own bodies. Because when you're going through chronic pain and chronic health conditions, that causes a rise in cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And higher levels of cortisol can just detrimentally affect your health, even if you don't have chronic health issues. If you're going through a lot of stress, those inflated cortisol levels will just deteriorate your health. And that's why stress deteriorates your health, is those hormones. But so a lot of times, you know, when people have chronic pain, you can go into fight or flight type of responses for no reason.
Fight, flight, or freeze.
And that's why, you know, and like, you know, we've talked about how barefooting helps with our sensory issues, and sensory issues are a part of safety, you know, feeling safe in your body. But chronic pain is kind of tied into that. It's not the same thing as sensory issues, but, you know, for when pain is really bad and, you know, as long as the weather isn't creating an issue with the cold, taking, you know, your shoes off, for a lot of people that have chronic pain and issues, can help improve that sense of body safety, because it helps with the pain, it helps with the body's movement. You know, I know, you know, me and Audrey talked about, you know, when our feet are more free, you know, our feet are, you know, helps make sure our feet aren't as stiff, and when our feet are as stiff, that keeps the rest of our body from stiffening up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, barefooting can help with that, you know, sense of safety with chronic pain. And it can also, you know, help with that sense of safety with sensory issues. But if it is becoming too cold for you, where, you know, 24/7 barefooting is not, you know, an answer to those sense of safety, you know, with chronic pain and helping those cortisol levels and that fight or flight, you know, that's okay. You know, your barefooting experience is still valid. You know, listen to your body. And what I'm saying is not meant to scare you. These are my own experiences. You may walk outside and this whole time and be like, I don't know, man, this Phoenix girl is crazy. I don't know what she's talking about, you know, because your experiences are different than mine. And that's okay, you know. And so it's about listening to your body. That is the most important thing.
We're here for tips and advice on, like, what may help. We're here to encourage you on what, like, the laws and health codes, you know, say. We're here for that. We're not here to tell you you're doing it right or wrong. We're not here to, you know, make anyone feel inadequate or sound like, I don't know, any type of way, whatever. But, like, there's no right or wrong way. There's no one-size-fits-all way about this.
Or anything, you know. And, you know, you have to think, you know, with anything else, you know, even with foods, people have preferences, people have their comfort foods, people have certain times they eat and digest better. You know what I mean? Everything is different to all of us, just like with barefooting. There are different times where it is the better option. There are different times where you do have to keep your health and safety in mind. But everybody's limitations are different.
Yeah.
You know, because of my health issues, I, you know, have different limitations than a lot of you guys may have. And, you know, and, you know, and I have to remember for myself that my limitations are valid. And that's something that can be even hard for me to remember as somebody that is chronically ill and, you know, and neurodivergent. Unfortunately, you know, society puts people like us in boxes where it's like, oh, you're just useless. You don't fit to our system. When if anything, our system is detrimental, not even just to neurodivergent or chronically ill or mentally ill individuals, but also to healthy neurotypical individuals. You know, we have a system that creates or that values, you know, productivity over quality of life, over happiness. But if people had better quality of life and were happier, we would actually be more productive.
Right.
You know, like when I took stress management, it was, you know, we were in college, my associate in psych, you know, we talked about how stress, you know, yes, it detrimentally impacts the body. Somebody walked past the window and I got distracted. Stress detrimentally impacts the body.
Except it doesn't help that I'm cleaning my purse out.
I know. I'm like, what's Audrey going to pull out next in her Mary Poppins bag? Such an interesting, folks.
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't even know what else is here. It's my fourth pocket knife.
Oh, I remember now. But when we were in stress management, you know, like I already mentioned, you know, we were talking about how, you know, stress, you know, deteriorates the body, but also affects mental health and productivity. And so relaxation and even physical exercise, whatever that may look like for you. Physical exercise for me may look very different than physical exercise for somebody that, you know, doesn't have the same illnesses and physical limitations as me. And so, you know, stress management and even is very important to help not just improve your sense of mood, your quality of life, but even with your own productivity, you know. And for reference, you know, guys, we've got 7 retrogrades going on. Mars is in retrograde. So if you're feeling all crazy, this is part of it. With the Mars retrograde, people's passions, values, why we do things, you know, our drive, what motivates us is something that we're really questioning on. And if you're feeling just really burnt out, it's probably because you're not in a system that is working beneficial towards you and the way you function, and that your natural passions and interests aren't being highlighted. So it's about kind of learning to find that too is definitely a key about, is a key thing with managing stress. But, you know, sometimes barefooting is that is a good option for managing stress. I know, like we've talked about in the past, when you're having panic attacks, taking off your shoes when you start to feel one coming on or during a panic attack can be extremely beneficial to recovering from the panic attack or relieving those symptoms, and to kind of help ground yourself, literally. And so as long as it's not too cold for you, you know, taking that time to, you know, ground outside, if you're feeling very mentally overwhelmed, the stress is just, you know, getting to, you're losing your sense of passion, you know, you just need to reconnect with yourself, your energy, your body. As long as it's not too cold for you, you know, take some time to, you know, just feel the grass. Now, if grass is, you know, a texture you don't like for sensory reasons, maybe try concrete or asphalt or, you know, just some surface where you can ground yourself. But you could even ground yourself in your home, you know, even just, you know, and now if you're on an upper floor, that, you know, maybe not as much, but, you know, just like I live on the lowest floor. So, you know, just sitting on the ground in my apartment and just feeling to relax, it's like I can still feel that grounding effect while being in my warm home, you know. And so barefooting and grounding can look like so many different things depending on what works for your body and just what works for your mental health and your sensory awareness or any sensory issues. And but in general, I mean, we are living in a system that is it's squashing our natural flow, you know, and not even just for barefooters, but for so many different people on so many levels. So just take the time to reconnect with your body in the ways that are right for you. You know, and I like to, you know, think of our mental and emotional dimensions as two different dimensions because, you know, and like often we combine mental and emotional health, but for my experiences as somebody who's neurodivergent, I can become too set in that logic or mental dimension of, you know, my existence because we are multidimensional beings, and this will tie around to barefooting. Just give me a second.
I'm giving you
leave. And so,
I can't trust you today anyway, Jake.
Yeah, Audrey's got no voice if you guys are just
my
listening. So she's doing her best to talk.
I'm here. prove it.
But I've known even for myself, like I can get so caught up in being too logical that I ignore my emotions and those emotional feelings and those, you know, emotional signals, you know, going through. And so I do like to kind of remind people that our mental and emotional dimensions are kind of different. But within our society, we have been taught to ignore our emotions, our emotional dimension of self, and our physical dimension of self so much. And instead, to focus everything around, you know, this mental idea, mind over matter, which
not even just that, but around everybody else. Like,
yeah,
I agree with you. Don't be kind out, but you can't. Don't be a jerk. Like, but the problem is we're like almost encouraged to not think of ourselves as separate beings, while at the same time being selfish. It's a very contradictory, confusing society we're living in.
But that's because we're taught to ignore our needs and be logical, and then everybody's walking around deprived in some way. And when you're deprived, you know, that comes from your unconscious, subconscious self, or like your id, or even your libido, which under Carl Jung's theory isn't inherently sexual. It has to do with all needs, so emotional needs, any physical need. Those are all tied into like your libido through his theories. Because those are just any raw needs that we have, and those include emotional needs,
even intellectual needs. I've even noticed for myself, like, if I'm not around the right people, I just feel mentally and creatively, like, just stuck, you know? So you have to be able to be around people that, you know, you can talk with. And so we all have these different needs. And when these needs aren't met, we start acting out in certain ways. And that's where, like, the selfishness comes in. And people start acting out because we're deprived. And it's because we're not taught to value our emotions, to value our bodies, what's happening inside of us. Just mind over everything else. And it's not even our mind. It's the...
Often the problem, like, too, for a big chunk of society is, like, tries to talk like, you know, mental health is so important, but does anybody out there have any idea how hard it is to actually get said mental health?
Oh, it's impossible.
They stress the importance of it, but then make it impossible to get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, everything, the whole freaking perfect house, perfect family, perfect, mm-hmm. you know, everything. But it's impossible to do.
Yeah.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. It's insanity to me.
Yeah. And, you know, barefooting is a key way that our natural flow, I would say, like, has been crushed as people. But there are so many ways that our natural flow has been crushed. I mean, the whole system, you know, isn't really working with people's needs. And, you know, or even, like, you know, how we've talked about in the past, like, barefooting isn't considered professional or it's considered gross. And it's like, but barefooting is the key thing for a lot of people with different sensory needs, different physical health conditions. Mm-hmm. And so that is a key way that, you know, people's natural flow and what's right for their body has been, you know, just squashed, you know, or pushed down. And so it's like
made to feel like it's wrong somehow too.
Yeah. And we're taught to value this, this corporate idea of productivity too, not even a true advancement of productivity, because, you know, when I talk about corporate productivity, it's just like, we're just numbers. We're here just to be numbers to people, just to crunch numbers, you know, and instead of, you know, taking the time to focus on professionalism in terms of, are you kind? Are you being patient with people? You know, how are you treating your clients? How are you treating your customers? How are you treating your employees? How are you treating your coworkers? How are people treating each other? You know, there are so many things that have way more to do with professionalism than your bare feet, you know? And if you're not treating people appropriately or with respect, that's unprofessional.
Wearing fancy, expensive shoes has nothing to do with how I treat people.
Exactly.
Like, seriously, that's the last thing on my brain that says,
yeah,
you know, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Because I put expensive shish on my feet. Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's not how that works.
Yeah. And so it just kills me, you know. Or the thing, too, is so many people, you know, in your workplace, it's like, your health and your value as a human being, your experiences, you know, it's like none of it matters. And I get it to a degree, you know, okay, don't bring all your baggage with you. Don't, you know, be trauma dumping in the workplace or something like that, or putting all your problems on people. I get that. But at the same time, we are still people, you know, and we need to approach people with compassion and empathy and treat each other like we are people, like we are human beings. And we haven't been for so long. I mean, we see a healthcare system that, you know, gaslights and doesn't take people's issues seriously. You know, we see workplaces that gaslights and doesn't take people's issues seriously. And barefooting is one of those key things. Thankfully for me, the doctors that I have now have not said anything about barefoot. And, you know, it's never really come up when I've gone in barefoot.
Mine that have questioned it are totally understanding and supportive of my decision too.
Yeah. Right. And even if somebody questions.
Because I'm not giving them a choice. I fired all the ones that try and say anything negative. I'm like, buy them second opinion.
As you should, because your barefooting isn't hurting anybody, and it's not hurting you. It's not
even if
causing
I
an issue.
It's not their concern.
Like, there are much worse things to worry about people doing to themselves than, you know, their barefooting
right.
journey. And
like, I'm not, like, shooting up between my toes. So.
Yeah, like, there are much worse things. And so it is just very crazy to me, you know, how, I don't know, as a society, we've kind of just allowed this system of, you know, just fitting into the corporate mindset. Even if you're not a corporate person, it's like you're somehow
fitting into this corporate mindset of productivity and self-value. And that's something I've had to question for myself, you know, is remembering that, you know, my worth or whatever, or my value, my physical experiences, they are valid, even if they're not like everybody else's, you know, with having, you know, being neurodivergent, having, you know, physical health issues that can affect the way you look at yourself. But when we really think about it, it's because our society is not understanding to the way people's minds and bodies work. And so, you know, if you're really feeling frustrated and drained by this, take some time to ground yourself, you know, and if it's too cold outside for you, especially if it's something you're just now trying, then even just try it in your own home, you know, and just free yourself, you know. Yeah. And know that there isn't really a
Australian?
Apparently, for a second. I was trying to combine right and wrong in my head. I was like, I don't even know how I did that. Okay. Anyway, there is no right or wrong way of barefooting. Yes, I hear your voice. But there is no right or wrong way to barefoot as long as you are listening to your body and what it needs.
Yeah.
And if you're afraid of what people might think, keep in mind, there are no laws or health barefooting in the entire United States in public places. If a business or any kind of place is open to the public, they legally cannot have a policy against barefooting because barefooting is a protected right. Barefooting is a key thing that people do for so many reasons, and some of these key aspects of why people barefoot are cultural reasons, spiritual or religious reasons, medical reasons, which can include physical health or mental health, or, you know, just being neurodivergent, and which is a part of your mental health, but it's not the same thing as being mentally ill or anything. But, you know, and so barefooting can be a key way of how people, you know, monitor and maintain their symptoms, like myself and Audrey, whether those are physical or mental. And so, you know, I was kind of rambling earlier, but the whole point of everything that I've said is just, you know, kind of showing light on that we're living in a system that doesn't take our own needs into consideration. And so it's time for you to take your own needs into consideration, regardless of what other people think. As long as you're not hurting anybody, of course, you have to do what is right for you. And when we are, you know, bogged down by stress and neglecting our bodies and our minds and what we need, that's when we become stifled. That's when we become blocked. That's when our creativity, our productivity, our motivation fall. Mm-hmm. And so if you're feeling disconnected and want to regain, you know, motivation, regain your energy, regain your passion, you need to reconnect your body in all dimensions. And barefooting helps on all dimensions, you know, whether that's mental, emotional, spiritual, or physical, or even energetic in terms of electromagnetic fields, because, you know, we all have electromagnetic fields. Earth is magnetic, and, you know, we're constantly getting electromagnetic fields between the sun and the earth. And, you know, and that's not even the same thing as spiritual, because this is a very scientific physical thing, but it's not the same thing as the physical things that we can see and touch that are, you know, solid or
tangible,
I guess would be a good word for it. But, you know, it is still a form of physical energy, but, you know, barefooting can help align and reconnect yourself and your body on all those levels. And, you know, because, you know, for me, I have found that it's very helpful for improving my emotional regulation,
yeah.
Not just my mental health, but my emotional regulation and being able to feel and understand my emotions better. And sometimes that's because shoes can be a sensory annoyance, you know, where it's
if
like
you
can't
so
see them, around
you can't
them.
Think of anything else.
Exactly.
When you're so focused on the fact that how uncomfortable your feet are, you're like, it, nothing else matters. Nothing else exists. It's hard to explain unless you're in that group, I guess, but
yeah,
it's a big deal, believe it or not.
Yeah, and it's not, and it's not just even chronic pain. It's also, you know, sensory issues, you know, stimulation issues that can be a big part of it. For me, a lot of time when I have shoes on, I feel overstimulated. And then sometimes too, then it can escalate the pain. And then I've got both of them working against me. And it's like, oh my gosh, get these prisons off me, you know?
Foot coffins.
I always love it when you say that. But, you know, it's really important to just free yourself. And that can look so different on so many levels. And maybe that's not 24/7 barefooting. I mean, shoot, I can't even 24/7 barefoot this time of year.
Cool,
I know, dude. I know you're fine. I know you're messing around. No, dude, I'm just like, why can't it be 75 degrees all year long? So that way I never have to worry about putting them on for my own body's needs. Now, if you are those, you know, people like Audrey that are able to keep going despite the cold, awesome. Keep doing it. You know, more power to you. But if at any point you need to slow down, remember that that is valid. As long as you're slowing down for your body and your needs, that's what matters. And I think we're going to take a quick ad break, folks, and then we'll be back. But, yeah, this is Barefoot is Legal with Audrey and Phoenix, and we'll be back right after the break.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beautiful. beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what, why wouldn't you do... Why wouldn't you do...
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Do you buy from Amazon? If you do, do you use Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a program Jeff Bezos set up to donate to 501c3 nonprofits. If you go to smile.amazon.com and designate Barefoot is Legal as your nonprofit, Jeff Bezos donates 0.5% of your purchase price to our charity. We need your support to fund our operations and promote the Barefoot lifestyle. It does not cost you anything. Please consider helping us out. Go to smile.amazon.com and add Barefoot is Legal as your favorite nonprofit and help us fight for freedom. Thank you.
Welcome back on this fine Saturday afternoon or morning or evening, depending on where you may be. We are in lovely Ohio, where it's actually almost 60 degrees today, so that's cool. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. We are a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to promoting the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. I am your host, Audrey. My voice is bye-bye. So Phoenix has been doing most of the talking today.
I'm good at.
He says you got to have some sort of skill in life, I reckon. Yeah, so I'm going to pass this on over to her because my throat hurts. I love it, but oh, golly.
I hope you guys are doing well. Oh, we took a quick break. But before we end the show, I would like to mention that Facebook is currently doing this kind of offer with nonprofit organizations where if their business pages get enough likes, comments, and shares, especially on the reels, then they will funding to the organization. And this is important. Now, this is a nonprofit organization. That's why it has 501c3 status, you know. Obviously, you know, or at least I hope it's obvious, but none of this money is going to be going into anybody's pockets. You know, we don't get paid to do the radio show. You know, we take this time of our day. All the people working in the organization just take their time out of their day to do this.
Volunteer basis.
Yes, volunteer basis. But, you know, for organizations, in order to spread knowledge, spread awareness, spread our message, to be able to do health fairs, be able to even just hand out cards and pamphlets, those things require money. Just because we're a nonprofit organization does not mean we get things for free. We don't get to just join health fairs for free. And even booths, tables, things like that cost money to either to rent, advertising, even to promote things on social media. You have to pay to officially promote. And so this is so if you guys would just, you know, give like, you know, a minute even out of your day to go to Barefoot is Legal, the Facebook business page, to, you know, leave a like, a comment, you know, either share to your feed or even just share with other friends so they can, you know, watch and like, comment, any of that. Just a minute out of your day. Most of the reels are under 40 seconds, so I'm sure even between commenting and going to the page, it'd probably take like a minute, okay? If you take just that little time out of your day to, you know, show some support, this can actually help the organization get better funding so that way we can do more health fairs. We can do more promoting, giving out cards, and even in order to get, you know, documentation from different county legislatives, different state legislatives, and regarding barefooting issues, even that takes money because unfortunately, you know, we still use a lot of paper mailing and stamps in, you know, the business world. And so that's a big way of how, you know, we're getting things sent to and from us. And so even, you know, to print things off, letters, envelopes, stamps, those cost money. And Proof, you know, he's put a lot of time, energy of his own resources into this organization. And so he definitely deserves some credit for that, of course. But in order to get this, you know, and he's done really great with this organization, don't get me wrong, like, but in order to get this, you know, movement and this organization to keep pushing, to get it on a true, like, national level where everybody is, about everybody, or at least hopefully 1 in 5 people recognize Barefoot is Legal and Barefooting Right, we need, you know, funding. And we don't want to ask you guys, hey, will you give us $5? You know, we really don't want to. So, you know, asking for a minute, 2 minutes out of your day to, you know, watch a reel, leave a like, leave a comment, share to your feed or share with friends so that they can see it, would really help us get funding so we don't have to be like, hey, you got $5? Because, you know, nobody really wants to do that. You know, we don't want to do that because our goal is to help promote. You know,
right.
And
if a big corporation wants to give us funding just for doing a couple simple things, why wouldn't we?
Like, exactly. Like, if you're anti-corporation, hey, look at this as a way of taking money from Facebook to give it to an organization you care about. If that will motivate you, think about it like that. I mean, I'm all about taking free money from corporations before I'm going to ask, you know, people that are, you know, going through their daily life. Everybody's struggling right now for money, you know. So it just, you know, or even if you take a few minutes out of your day, watch some videos maybe you missed on some other days, leaving some likes and comments, you know. Even suggestions of any content you would like to see would still help us, you know, get more comments while also, you know, kind of catering to yourself by saying like, hey, I would like to see more of this. As long, though, as it is age, all age friendly, appropriate kind of stuff, you know, because we're like
family friendly.
Yeah, family friendly. So, you know, keep it friendly family or family friendly, sorry.
PG,
yeah, you know. And, you know, if you are having any issues with anybody, you know, in the Facebook group, Barefoot is Legal, definitely reach out to the admin managers and the team will take care of it. We do not, you know, condone or put up with any of that. So I'm just going to put that out there too. That way, if anybody is harassing you, whether it's, you know, a sexual comment or just a derogatory comment of any kind, let us know or let the admin team know. I'm not one of the admin teams, I should say. Or team members on Facebook. But, you know, reach out to them and they will take care of it for you because, you know, we are not about that at all. We are about making sure everybody is safe, supported, welcomed, and encouraged. So if there's anything going on that's taking that away from the group, we, you know,
if we don't know, we can't
fix it. You know, everybody in the group wants to make sure that
and
we are keeping the right environment.
It's not about censorship. It's about kindness and consideration. I don't want to censor anybody. But if you're going to go at somebody in a perverted way or a derogatory way, well, we just don't have time for that nonsense.
And all it does
is not necessary.
No, you're good. I was going to say, all it does, too, is hurt the movement. Mm-hmm. When you're coming in with these
it's
things.
It's a whole negative connotation to this.
If you're into the more fetishistic side of things, find a group
that
is for
that.
You, okay? See, and this is not me trying to shame. This is not Audrey Trotschman trying to shame. This is nobody trying to shame anybody. This is about keeping the right environment for this organization. It's just about that. And so, you know, just be kind because, you know, we want to be able to push, support, and encourage each other. And we would love to see this pushed so much deeper on a national level. And I would even love to see it pushed on a global level, you know, where people are further so that, you know, people are recognizing that so everybody recognizes Barefoot is Legal, you know.
Everyone realizes it's a valid life choice.
That's
our goal is just to be not harassed simply because we go to the grocery store how we choose to live.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, just to be.
And unfortunately, in order for that to happen, you know, Barefoot is Legal does need to be recognizable to, you know, on a bigger level
exactly.
Because, you know, we are one of the main organizations, you know, that is
we're the
pushing.
Only 501c3.
Okay.
The only
five. Okay.
We are the only nonprofit for this.
I was pretty sure we're the only one with 501c3. five.
There are other groups that say they're barefoot, you know, they're pro barefooters, but they're not doing much for the movement. That's the problem.
Yeah. And that,
we actually want it to be a movement into, I don't really like the term accepted because I'm never really worried about that specifically myself, but that's essentially what it is, to be accepted and just not bothered because we choose to not wear shoes. Like, that is one of the dumbest reasons to go after somebody. One of the dumbest is to be like, you're a horrible human. Like, and I've dealt with it. And you're coming at me, so you're no better, you know. But
yeah, and I was pretty sure we were the only one with 501c3 nonprofit status. But yes, we are. So Barefoot is Legal is the only 501c3 nonprofit organization for barefooting right now in this country. And if you want to support the barefoot movement, if you are a barefooter, or if you love and support a barefooter, you know, just take a few minutes out of your day, you know, to watch, like, comment, and, you know, share these reels and the other posts on the Barefoot is Legal business page so that way we can get this free funding from Facebook. You know, I would much rather take money from Facebook than anybody else, you know.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. It works.
Oh, but, you know, so, so yeah, you can check us out at Barefoot is Legal on Facebook as a business page and a private group if you're interested and you already haven't checked those out. And you can also find us at barefootislegal.org. There's a lot of great resources there. You can even report unfriendly businesses. That way, if anybody, you know, so other people are aware. And you can find other resources on how to go about discrimination issues, as well
as reporting unfriendly businesses and how to handle yourself in a situation. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are also cards from the states that, you know, states, and their official cards with the state's official, like, commission seals.
Anti-discrimination policies.
Yeah. And they're, and they state that barefooting is legal in public places, and
being uncomfortable around bare feet is not a reason to kick somebody out.
Yeah, and that's another thing that is listed on the card. I actually had a picture of it, but I can't find my phone. We're using Audrey's phone. But she's going to go to barefootislegal.org, and we can read you the one for Ohio. And so you can even print those off and carry them around with you and, you know, keep the card in your wallet too. So that way if, you know, somebody is just trying to harass you in a store or any public place, you can even show it to them and it shows that, you know, it's official, you know, it has the seal. And so this site, you know, it's really great for a lot of resources. You can find different letters too on there. Unfortunately, I don't have letters from all counties. But if there are any that you, you know, live in or live around or have had issues in that you would like to contact directly yourself, go ahead and take that initiative. And then you can share that information with us later. Oh, yeah. And here's the Ohio card for we have on Barefoot is Legal says, Ohio law protects a person's right to go barefoot due to religious, cultural, medical, or disability reasons. State and federal laws in the Ohio Civil Rights Commission protect your right, such as restaurants, grocery stores, theaters, government buildings, gyms, museums, libraries, amusement parks, trains, or buses. No one, including business owners or employees, can tell a barefoot patron to leave or to put shoes on. And in parentheses, it has this is the Ohio Revised Code, Chapter 4112, if you guys wanted that extra information. And then it continues with, risks to barefoot patron or annoyance to staff and customers are not reasons to discriminate.
Information on what to do if you are discriminated against.
Yeah, and it leaves a site. It says that the site you can go see is crc.ohio.gov. When I went to the site, it gave me, it actually took me to a different site. So the sites are two different, so they're the same, it's like, it's the same site.
It's a civil rights
But often if you use that link, it'll just go ahead and take you to the official Ohio.gov commission page. And so in my URL bar at the top, it did give a different address than that one, but if you still use that link, it'll take you to the official site. So I just wanted to put that out there because that may be just a little bit confusing because when I was looking at it, I was a little confused at first. But yeah, I think since it's a government link, it just goes ahead and recognizes them both as the same thing.
And we have we have civil rights for all the states. Most of the states we have for health department, and then we also have driving laws for a few. We're working on getting all of them, so.
Yeah, so if there are any areas that you live in that you notice on the page that don't have any documentation for barefoot driving laws or for health department documentation and you would like to take that initiative yourself, I definitely encourage you, and we would all be grateful for that. Unfortunately, it does take a lot of time, money, and resources for us to be able to do these things, but if you as one person are able to send out one letter or even find where you can email somebody to get that information in your hands and then would like to pass it on to Barefoot is Legal, I believe you can submit that to the forum. The forum part of the site at barefootislegal.org. Or you could even reach out to anybody on the admin team and ask them for a better way of sending that to.
These are just different articles on Barefoot.
You're good. Yeah. And so the site I have noticed on phones isn't always the most neatly organized thing. Unfortunately, a lot of websites are like that, though.
Laptop or laptop, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's not even necessarily a reflection of this website. I know most websites that I found.
It's just the way the code is.
Yeah.
Best on bigger screens.
So if you do find it a little bit harder to navigate on your phone, I do recommend just going to a desktop, and it's so much easier to look at. We would appreciate, any support that you can give on the Facebook business page right now to help us get some extra, free funding from Facebook. But as always, we need to keep in mind that, we need to all be taking a part in, sharing and being a part of this organization. If you're somebody that cares about barefooting rights, then, please share. Just share the information, or at least, even share our link, and maybe, you're not as comfortable, posting about your own barefoot journey, but still, even just sharing a post by Barefoot is Legal, just saying like, putting it out there that it is an option still helps, even if you don't want to talk about your own barefooting journey. But if you would even like to talk about your own barefoot journey, even to just get our Instagram more traffic and more attention to help promote the organization, you can even just put a picture of you doing something barefoot on your Instagram story and then tag Real Barefoot is Legal, because the Instagram is Real Barefoot is Legal, and put that on your story. And as long as you have your settings set where people who you tag in your story can share your stories to their story, mm-hmm. as long as you have it set that way, Audrey, who's admin, she can see and, even post those stories to our page if you, and that can even show us that, like, look, here's a member, doing something barefoot. It helps us show other people barefooting, but it also, you just posting a simple picture of you barefooting and tagging Real Barefoot is Legal helps bring more attention to our page to help, promote and spread the movement. But definitely, be checking out, the Facebook, as that is incredibly important for us getting the funding from Facebook, to be able to benefit
your
organization.
Whatever your favorite social media outlet is, any, word of mouth is any business's biggest selling point and biggest booster, I guess you could say. It's people knowing what it is and, talking about it, having a conversation is what brings the most attention to things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but especially,
yeah.
Like she said, especially the Barefoot is Legal on Facebook to kind of help earn the funding, but any kind of awareness and recognition for you know, our cause is beneficial.
Yes. And that's why, you know, I wanted to mention, too, that you can even just do that by posting a picture of you barefoot hiking, going to the store barefoot, going to the gas station barefoot, pumping your gas barefoot, being in the snow barefoot, anything.
Public places are generally best. Like, yes, hiking is great. It's the only way I hike. But public places are best because that's our whole thing is with being barefoot is legal. Like, obviously, it's, you know, if you're outside, you're going to do whatever you're going to do. But, like, when you go, like, to your grocery store, your convenience store, like, you can go to the gas station, whatever, pictures of that are what benefit the cause the most. Because it's showing that it is legal and it is safe and it is 100% okay.
Oh, definitely.
You know, so, but yes, please keep sharing the hiking.
Because even the hiking, it does still destigmatize some of the safety around barefoot, not so much the rights in terms of public legality, but it does still help to debunk a lot of these myths of how barefooting is inherently dangerous. And I know I can be really bad about even remembering to take barefooting pictures because
you think I'd be better being on the admin team, but I'm so bad.
I think sometimes the reason why it's hard when you do it so much and you even talk about it so much is it's one of those things after a while you don't think about. It's kind of like my cane. I always use my cane. If I set it down at a moment when I don't need it for even just for a second, like 2 minutes later, I'm like, oh my God, where did I put it? And I'm like, I can't find it. And then, you know, it's always the worst when you act, like, right when you need it, too, because you're like, oh, my gosh, where did I put it? Because it's one of the things that I use so much I don't think about. And so sometimes it's even like that with barefooting. It's like you do it so much that you start to not think about it. And, like, yeah, we come on here and talk about it, and, you know we have that set time, you know, out of the week to be able to talk about it and kind of push that.
Forget that it's Saturday.
And that, but, you know, sometimes it's just one of those things where I can just forget, like, oh, yeah, I didn't have my shoes on, you know, I didn't think to take a picture. And so I do plan on becoming better at that.
No, I do. And they ask how it went. And I'm like, how'd it go? How'd what go? I'm like, oh yeah, I do that, don't I? I'm not very, right.
But for you though, you do it all the time that you don't expect it always for people to ask. You're like, what do you mean how'd it go? Like I went last winter, only had to put my shoes on 3 times. Like you think this slowed me down? That's probably what's going on in your head. Like,
or was that just how did what go exactly? What are we talking about?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause you're like, wait, did I tell you something else going on in my life? Like,
Right.
And likely. Yeah. And I mean, I've still been posting some of my stories, but I've personally been taking some time away from just posting, kind of revaluing my relationship with social media, but I do plan on posting a lot more soon and sharing more things with about, you know, barefoot is legal. I think sometimes, too, you know, it's important for us to sometimes just reevaluate things. And one thing I've noticed is there, you know, social media is a very, you know, beautiful place where a lot of people can come together, like organizations like Barefoot is Legal or on Instagram, Real Barefoot is Legal. But unfortunately, you know, there is also a lot of toxicity. And so, you know, I've been kind of revaluing that. And there are times too where I'll even see passive aggressive things that randomly bringing up barefooting being illegal. And I'm like, out of nowhere. Now I always, you know, even while taking my break from social media, I do take time and just leave a comment like, hey, this is not true. And I usually do try to tag Real Barefoot is Legal when I find those on Instagram, you know, just to show like, hey, it's not true. Like, you can check this out. But I think sometimes we need to kind of step back and kind of reevaluate. Like there, you know, there is a lot of toxicity. And my point, you know, I'm not here to be afraid of it and to be intimidated and shut down. But I think sometimes it is helpful to kind of reevaluate those things and reevaluate your relationship you have with social media, so that way you can have a better relationship with it and use it as a tool even to help promote change. And that's what I definitely hope to use more of social media for. And so I think, you know, it is important, you know, to be sharing and posting. Now, if you're in a place where you're currently reevaluating social media, yes, take that time and I respect it, but I do encourage you to, you know, if you are reevaluating your relationship, because I know a lot of people, especially young people, have been developing unhealthy addictions to social media. So it is important to reevaluate that. So if you are currently reevaluating that, because I have a lot of friends that are doing the same, then yes, reevaluate that. But remember, how can you use social media to help? How can you use social media to spread knowledge, spread important causes, and spread kindness, awareness, and acceptance? And so, you know, if you are having a toxic relationship with social media, just remember that you can change that, and that we can all collectively work together to change an environment. So if that is something that matters to you, yes, take the time to reevaluate, do what's right for you, but remember that we can change things and we can use this for change. But the only way that you can use social media for change is to be sharing and posting. And so, you know, I know once I'm getting ready to get back into that. And so, you know, I do encourage you guys, you know, yeah, take the time that you need, but remember that, you know, change only happens when we push for it. Change only happens when we are passionate about it. Change only happens when we care about it. And not even just caring in the sense that you're sitting at home caring about it. You can sit at home and care about it and post on social media, you know what I mean? And still be doing something without leaving your house. But at the same time, you know, you still have to get out there and do things, you know? And we also have to remember, too, that social media alone isn't enough either. You know, we do have to be going out of our homes, leaving the house,
living life,
showing up, and just refusing to be shunned, refusing to be pushed out. And that can apply to anybody that doesn't fit within mainstream toxicity, as I like to call it at this point, you know, toxic thinking. How about that? You know, and not even saying the bad parts of mainstream thinking, but if you have been shunned by mainstream toxic thinking, you know, you have to remember that you have to show up. You have to show people that I'm not going to disappear. I am here and I belong here. And so I do encourage barefooters, you know, work through your comfort zone. You know, take it at a pace that is right for you. Take it at the pace that works for you, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, any of that, spiritual. Take it at your pace. But you have to remember you cannot allow other people to shut you down or intimidate you. You have to show up and refuse to be silent. And refusing to be silenced isn't necessarily hostile. I recommend not being hostile or aggressive. It's about being assertive and standing up for yourself. It's not about attacking people. It's not about, you know, off the bat, just getting up in people's faces, random strangers like, yeah, I'm a barefoot, so barefoot or so what? When they're just minding their own business, didn't say anything.
However, you say something to me, buddy.
But if people are coming at you, have some negative things to say or trying to tell you you have to leave, stand your ground. Mm-hmm. Be assertive. Know your power, know your worth, and know your rights.
Yes.
And so, you know, we do have to finish up here soon, but, you know, this is Barefoot is Legal, and we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as, you know, tips, tricks, and empowerment. But remember, guys, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces in the entire United States. If somebody is trying to kick you out of a public space, even if it's a business they own, it's still open to the public. If they are trying to kick you out, they are breaking the law. You being in there barefoot, minding your own business, you are not breaking the law. So if somebody is trying to kick you out or shut you down, just tell them there are no laws or health codes against it. I am not doing anything wrong. Therefore, I do not have to leave. If anything, you are breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
So stand your ground, folks. We do have to wrap up here, but I hope that you guys did appreciate this conversation. Just remember to keep pushing yourself and pushing for change and be a part of the barefooting movement, and any support that you guys can give on any social media platforms is definitely always recommended, appreciated. Sorry, my brain is always appreciated. If you'd like to check out more of us, you can find us on Instagram at Real Barefoot is Legal, Facebook, Barefoot is Legal, the business page, and the private group. And TikTok is Barefoot is Legal 2 with the number 2. And you can find us at barefootislegal.org. So it was great having you guys. My name is Phoenix, and I'm here with Audrey.
Hi.
Oh, sorry, her voice is still bad.
The voice was wonder.
But, yeah, it was great talking to you guys. Have a great one, and keep living your best barefoot lifestyle.
Be kind, help when you can. Don't be a jerk. We'll be back next week.
Take care.